Hello? Can y'all hear me okay? I want to welcome you if you're here at Ember, if you're visiting with us. And I want to let you know that I'm not the pastor. I'm not the normal speaker. That is Kevin Taylor. My name's Chris Gaddy. And Kevin is in Disney World, what I hear. And he will be back next week. So I encourage you to come back and hear him because he will bless you with what he's got to say. If you do come and you see him, you will notice that he doesn't look quite as good as I do. So, but he is a much better speaker. So if you can bear to look at him, I promise you, you'll be blessed. All right? So today, I just want to, I don't get to speak much, and you can probably find out why. But I want to tell you a little bit about, you may not know my story, that I'm, we were part of Chester Second Baptist, and I've been with Ember since the beginning. And it's cool to be part of that and be somewhat in leadership and to get to spend time talking to Kevin about what's going on and what God's doing. And I spend a lot of time, praying for this church and God, what do you want us to do? And I get to hear Kevin's visions, and it's cool to walk it out with him, to say, God, he'll say, here's what I think God's got us doing. And then we see things come to be, this house deal that we heard. Y'all heard about the house, right? I mean, we are building a house, That was a vision that he had years ago, that this is what we're going to do. And now it's happening. We're going to put a house and somebody's going to live in it. And that's just powerful to me to see how God works and works in him. And so as we're talking about this year, 2017, I said, Kevin, what do you feel like's happening? And he said, well, I feel like that this year that we need to become more of a warrior. We need to have this warrior type attitude. He said that I feel like that we're missing that, and that I can see that when we leave on Sunday, we come in and Sunday fires us up, and we leave on Sunday and we're ready to go out into the world and go out in the work week on Monday and just kick some butt for Jesus, And that's what these services become. And as I hear him talk about that, it just has got me fired up because you got to understand me that about probably 5 years ago, I'm sitting around and I'm looking at what's going on, and God is just stirring within me, and he's going, man, there's got to be more. There's got to be more that the church can do. I think the church has gotten complacent at times, and so we're sitting around a lot, and we see people going to hell every day, and we see broken families every day, and nothing's changing. I'm like, well, something's got to change. And when Ember started and Kevin came up with the vision of what Ember, what God showed him would be, it would be more of a getting out in the community, trying to build relationships, being bold in ways we hadn't been bold before. That really resonated and excited me. And as we started talking about the name for Ember, I got so excited that I wanted to name the church, and I wanted to name it Revolution. Think about that. Revolution. And let's go, let's go storm the gates of hell. Revolution. And in Kevin's wisdom, he was like, well, just hold on a little bit now. Just hold on. Because he knows I'm an impulsive guy, and he knows that a lot of times I speak before I think, and a lot of times I want to do something and not really have the resources to accomplish it. But now what I'm hearing from him is I see this. I see that we are in a place that we are ready to start taking some ground back that Christ, I mean, that maybe we've given to the enemy. So what I see, and see if you see this too, as I think God is starting to build an army. Right? Don't we have a song about that? Where's our song, people? They're gone. Something about an army in one of them. And I think he's starting to build an army. And I think we have to realize that there's a new urgency, y'all. There's a new urgency that we have to advance God's kingdom. We've got to. I don't think we can rest until we think see things changing in ways that we've never seen them before. And it starts with us, and so I got to challenge you, where are we at? Are you on the sidelines? Are you engaged? What more can you do? Can you get to that next level? And this is going to probably sound a little rough because when I speak, I'm kind of the guy that has the tone of, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, to lace up your bootstraps, you know. You know, I don't care if your leg is broken. Get back in there and play and win the game, you know. So sometimes that sounds a little rough when you hear that. But I'm not trying to be insensitive because I know people are dealing with real things. But sometimes I think we just need to have a little fire lit with us, you know, that we can see what's going on. So I got to ask you this. Where are you at? Is there anything holding you back? Do you think you can get to another level with God and where you can get, where you can advance the kingdom? You know, as I look at the church and what's going on here, and if I can think ahead, you know, 20 years from now, and if I came to a service in Ember, and if it looked just like it does right now, I would think my heart would be broken. You know, is this all it is? You know, this is good. I'm not saying this is bad, this is good, but is this all it is? Did nothing change over 20 years? Did God's people get out and do what they were called to do? And if they didn't, it would be sad, you know, and I don't think we would have succeeded with what God asked us to do. So I think if we can pursue God like we never have before, I think there's potential for us to be part of something that people will write about, that history will record. Does anybody believe that? Huh? Do y'all want to be part of that, or you just want to just kind of fade away, you know? Who wants to be that? Y'all, we are called to do more. So I think today my job is this. It's to give you some ideas of who you are and what you can accomplish. And I think it's to challenge you to think differently about the events that may have occurred in your life. To think again. Have we heard that lately? What's that? That's the new series, right? That God has given him. To think again. And then finally, I want to give you some tools that can help you grow closer to God, which is, if you use them properly, I promise you it'll help shine your light brighter and you'll be more effective in the kingdom. How's that sound? Good, yeah, real good, wasn't it? One guy. Me and you, Chris, we got it. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to handle this much the way that Paul did when he went back to the church in Corinth, that he went back and he asked them some questions. And so in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he said, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" He says, "Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And I'm asking that to y'all, and it's kind of rhetorical, but be thinking about that. Now, I think when you answer that, you can answer it with your head or you can answer it with your heart. If I say, "Do you know the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And you're going, "Yeah, I know." And I say, "Well, how do you know?" You may answer it like this. You may say, "Well, because you just told me." Or you may say, "Well, because I read it in the Bible." Or you may say, "Because that's what my mom has been telling me all my life." Right? Yeah, I know he's there. I accepted Christ. I know it. But there's a difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. And I think if you answer it with your heart, you may answer it like this. If I say, "Do you know that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" And you'd say, "Yeah." I say, "Well, how do you know?" And you say, "I just know." I mean, what do you mean, "I just know"? I just know. I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. He's there. I say, "Well, tell me a little bit about it." "Well, I can't. I can't really explain it. I just know that I talk to God the way we're talking right now, you know. I ask a question, he answers me. He's there. He guides me." And in 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul goes back. He's gone back to the church in Corinth, I think for his third visit, and some things are going on. I think that he sees that there are Christians there that are claim that they know Jesus, but their actions are kind of showing a little bit different, you know, that they're walking maybe in a different light of what they see, what he is seeing. So he says, "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test." And so what he's challenging the church to do at that time is he's challenging them for the self-examination. He said, "Hey, you should never get complacent knowing your position in God. You should always challenge yourself and see, hey, has something happened in my life that may have changed my course a little bit?" So always to self-examine yourself. And so Today I want to engage that question with you, and I want to talk to your spirit, okay? I want to talk to your inner spirit. This is the person God has designed you to be. This is who you are. You know, this is, some people may say your inner spirit, your soul, or your inner man, if you've heard that term before. But that person within you, if you claim Jesus as your Savior, if you can answer yes to that question, yes, He's in me, let me tell you what you have and who you are. That your spirit is somebody that wants to serve Him. You have a spirit that wants to honor Him. You're a fighter. You're an overcomer. You're an optimist. You're an achiever. You have ambition. You're dependable. You're generous. You're kind. You're passionate. You do have self-control. You have faith and joy. You're innovative, and you are wise. You're positive. You're courageous. You're inspiring. You're good. You're motivated. You love what Christ loves, and you love how Christ loves. You love what Christ loves, and you love how Christ loves. And you are able to break free of any bondage that you're in. Does that resonate with anybody? You're like, man, you're just telling my story. I know all that. Keep it going. And there's much more. There's much more. So that's the person I'm talking to today. That's the one, that victor in you. That's the one that claims victory. It's not the victim we feel like sometimes when things don't go our way. So I'm speaking to that person. But in order to speak to that person, I think we have to talk to the other part of your spirit. And that's the spirit that maybe, you know, that's had a little bump in the road. That's maybe got hit in the face one time, you know, not literally, hopefully, but maybe you got a bruise or two. And that's the part of your spirit that we call the wounded part. And maybe that's the part that you're coming here today and you're a little overwhelmed by life. You are worrying. You do have problems. You have some serious health challenges. You feel like nothing is going your way. Maybe you can't get over death of someone or death of a family member or death of a spouse. You have a wayward child that you can't get over. You're dealing with guilt. Your finances aren't where they need to be. You have a boyfriend or girlfriend maybe that's got you all upset. But my prayer today is that this wounded part of your spirit is not going to have power over you anymore. Okay? That the wounded part will not have power. It's still there. It doesn't go away. Those things are real. Okay? But I want to pray that your true spirit will control you and you can see things from here on as God sees them. All right? Can you receive that? All right. Thank you. All right. So I think it's best, instead of me trying to, you know, sometimes it's best to see a real life example of how this plays out. And I think sometimes it's good for us to look at our fellow believers and see them and see somebody that maybe is living the life I'm talking about. And this is what I'm talking about, the person that, yeah, has real so-called problems, we'll call them perceived problems, but their true spirit is shining and they're effective with the kingdom. And so I'm going to talk about my good friend, and this is Kim Sconders. Kim, I'll probably look at you a little bit as we talk about it. I know you're humble, so just receive this. And as I was praying last night, and God just told me that He wanted to tell you that, said, well done, Kim. He said that He's proud of you, and you're doing what He needs you to do. So today's the day to honor you too, I think, for you serving Him. But let me tell you a little bit about Kim. And I would have let Kim talk, but she talks a lot, and if she started praising God, we would be here till tomorrow, okay? So I'm going to tell her story. Kim, correct me for what I miss, all right? In 1995, Kim was 32 years old. Sorry. If y'all want to figure out her age, get your calculators out. And she was working at the Cork and Barrel, which is now KJ's, and was a waitress. Is that right? Waitress at Cork and Barrel. She started having some pain or something, sensation in her arm and her left side, and turns out that she had an aneurysm. And when the aneurysm in her head, it burst or ruptured, I don't know what the correct Michael, what would we call it? Ruptured. It ruptured, and she went through that. But what she tells me is that when it did, that normally they rupture and they go out and it starts bleeding inside the brain, and it usually results in death. And it's usually a high percentage of aneurysms that good. Is that correct? All right, we've got a physician in here, so I'm gonna bounce it off him. But in her case, that when it ruptured, it actually sealed itself off, and the damage it did was to her left side. And so now her daughter was 2 years old at the time, and she can't use her left arm or her left side. She walks and all. And if you know her, you know what all she can do. And what I thought when I started talking to her is she would have told me that that was the time that she gave her, recommitted her life back to God. I thought she would say, "Man, when that bad thing happened to me, then it was time for me to change my life, you know." And I went to church the next day. But actually, she said she went back into the world. That correct? Am I missing anything yet? All right. And it wasn't until around 1999, 4 years later, that things changed in her life. And that was the day that her and her daughter were in the car. Her daughter's now in kindergarten. And she said, "Mama, have you accepted Jesus into your heart?" And Kim looked and said, "Uh-oh." She's like, "Well, yeah, you know." And she said, "I've been in church all my life. I accepted Christ when I was young. And so I'm good on that. Why are you asking me?" She said, "Well, I accepted Christ today into my heart." And Kim said, "That's what did it for." She said that night, her and God apparently had a long talk, and that's when things changed. That she, we can call it a rededication or a I don't know, did she accept Christ? It doesn't really matter, but that's when things changed. And she started living the way God would have her live. And she became the mother that God had designed her to be as she raised her daughter. And she went on to get her master's. And she now is a big wig over at Chester Mental Health. She runs that place over there. And she talks about what God did. She said things were good. She said, "I knew God." She said, "He actually delivered me from smoking in 2002. But as I talked to her, and she talks about those times after Adrian had accepted Christ, that she seemed to answer with her head. She said, "I knew God. I knew the verses. I knew, and he did some cool things for me." She said, "But I didn't really know God until about 2011. And she said, "At that time is when my small group took on the topic of healing." So we took on the topic of healing, and we were meeting every week for 9 months on healing. And what does God have to say about healing? And are we going to figure this out? He said that we're not going to be just going to read about it and talk about it. We're going to be part of it. So we're going to go to people. We're going to pray. If you need prayer, you call us. 1-800, we will pray. We'll be there. And so that's what they did. So they actually went to a family and prayed for a guy that was dying and ministered the families there that I don't know if they were believers or not. And so families there, they prayed for the guy in his bed and he actually died. Said, but they did get to minister to that family. But then she tells about stories about healings that happened. I think it was your niece, Kim's niece, had. Diagnosed, and now what's she doing? Completely healed, right? So they saw that, and she said, "That's when it changed for me. That's when it changed. That's when it went from here to here. That I know that I know that I know who God is now, and I know." And she lost her parents about that time, 2011. And if you talk to Kim, then you know that what her parents mean to her, and you know the void that has left her with not having her parents. And so I asked her, I said, "Kim, what do you think about it? Tell me about that." And she said, "It's hard. It's hard not to have your parents." She said, "I didn't get the deal that I thought I was supposed to get, the fairy tale where my parents live till they're 95 years old and they just kind of drift away. I didn't get that." She said, "They were taken by Alzheimer's at an early age, and Lou Gehrig said they had tragic illnesses and it was hard. He said, I have regrets that maybe I could go back and say some things different to my mom, you know, that maybe I was mean to her at times. And I said, well, how do you get through it now? And she said, well, it's hard. She said, I used to cry every day. She said, but now I only cry 2 or 3 times a week. And she said, but I know I'll see him again. I said, how do you know, Kim? She said, I know. I said, no, how do you know? Well, I know. I know that I know that I know I'll see him. I'm saved. I claim Jesus as my Savior. They did too. I will see him again. So she lives for that time, you know, that she's going to see him. And that gets her through it. It's not any easier for her, but it gets her through it. And she made a point. She said, you know, I could have just stopped right there. I could have just made that be, let that moment define me, you know, but I'm getting through it. And as I talked to Kim, and the reason I went to her is I said, well, I'm going to try to give this big message today about, you know, hey, we need to get out there and save the world or whatever. And I know people are going to say, well, I got some problems and I can't get over them. So I want to go to talk to Kim and let Kim tell me about how she deals with her problems. You know, that you know, I'm looking at Kim. She can't use her left arm and she can't use her left leg. And I'm like, well, I want to find out what Kim does when she's sitting at home and she has her pity parties, you know, going, you know, why did God do this to me? You know, and so she can tell me how she gets through it so I can tell y'all. So I'm talking to her. I said, Kim, tell me about what you do when you have your challenges. And she said, what do you mean? I said, you know, your challenges, Kim, your arm, your challenges, your leg, you know, you can't getting dressed, all that stuff. She said, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, I don't have any challenges. So then I had to get my big foot out of my mouth, right? And I said, what do you mean you don't have any challenges? She said, I can do whatever I want to do. She said, God gives me whatever I need. I don't have any challenges. And so she started quoting me the verses, you know, that if God is for you, who's against you? You know, everything's possible through God. And God gives me everything for life and godliness, you know. And I'm like, man, she's got it. And she knows, right? She knows. No verse is going to change that, but she knows. And I go on, I said, well, Kim, what keeps you going? And she said, I figured out who I am. She said, years ago, I figured out I know what I'm supposed to do. I know what I'm supposed to do. And she said, I know what God designed me to do. And I'm actually going back to school to increase my, to get another degree in counseling. And she said, what I found out, she said, is if you pour yourself into someone else, it takes focus off of your perceived problem. She made that a point to say proceed. And if you watch her, she'll pour herself into somebody else. That's what she's all about. It's never about her. It's about pouring herself into somebody else. And what you see on the side of that, she said, hey, and then I look back and I see that God has blessed me in all these ways, you know, that I don't think about myself. I don't think about these things, but I just want to help others. And, man, is that not the model of what Christ has designed us to do, right? To press on, y'all, to look forward. Paul says in Philippians 3, he says, what I do, can I say that? Do? What I do is I forget the past. He says, I forget the past. Now, you got to understand Paul now. He was a pretty bad dude. He killed some people. He killed the Christians. He persecuted them. But now he says, I forget the past and I press on what's ahead. I press on for the glory in Christ Jesus. And so I think so many times we get stuck in the past. You know, we get stuck in these things and we forget to look forward. And Kim is just walks that out in such an incredible way. And so when I talk about these events, the whole point of that is to let you start thinking about some of your events in your life. Okay? What have defined you? Okay, what are the events, the milestones, the monuments you've laid in certain times in your life when something may not have gone your way, or maybe it has? And what are you doing with those? Are those the ones that got you stuck in the mud? Or are those the ones that are advancing you and that are glorifying God and advancing the kingdom? Think about Kim, and she could have used that 1995 aneurysm as a point to stop, you know, to say, man, what a raw deal did I get, you know? What a raw deal. I can't use my left side. But I think she uses it to champion what she can do, you know? Hey, yeah, I can't use my left side, but what, that hadn't stopped me from doing what I'm supposed to do. She could have used her parents, you know, that it's hard to get over the death of a loved one. But she's used that, and she's looking forward. She's looking forward for that. So start thinking about your milestones and what has defined you. And I can say a couple of mine and things that have changed my life, and these are the ones that have grown me closer spiritually to God, are things like this. It's the time that I can feel the Holy Spirit stirring in me, you know, that I just know I'm supposed to do something. And I remember the time when I lived in Anderson that a minister came into my office, and I was trying to sell him insurance, but he was trying to sell me something else, you know. Turns out that we started, he asked me, he said, hey, man, would you mind if I discipled you? Would you mind if we met every week and just talked about what God was up to? And I agreed to do it. I spent time with him one-on-one every week just asking questions and talking about things. And I'm telling you, it changed my life to be with a mature believer that could answer questions for me. I remember the time that the Vineyard Church came when we were at Chester Second Baptist and introduced me to the Holy Spirit. And I think a lot of y'all were part of that, or some of you were. It changed my life. I remember the time here when I moved back to Chester that I knew God was stirring in me to do something, but I just didn't know what it was. There's just so much noise around me. You know that sometimes there's just noise around you that you just can't hear God. I knew I had to get away. And so I just left, me and my Bible, and I went camping for a weekend and just spent time with God, and he spoke to me in such incredible ways that it has changed my life, and it's part of who I am, and it's defined me. And so, as you think of your milestones, I want you just to start thinking of this, all right? What has defined you? What are your milestones? Okay, what are they? How have they defined you? All right, think of that for a minute, y'all. What is it? Do you think more about the things that are holding you back, or more about the things that are helping you to move forward, right? Is there any way to transform that from a bad event to a good event? Can you use it as something that you champion to make you who you are? Can you use it as something that would help you to pour your life into somebody else? Are you looking forward, or are you looking backwards? And these are some of the tough questions. I know if you want to get to a place closer to God and you want to pursue him at a new level, and that's what we need as we talk about building an army that's going to save this world, and I think of it that way. I don't think of it as, hey, let's go out and if we save one, then, you know, we did a good job. I think of it that we're supposed to save the world. And so we need each one of y'all to be part of this. So as you think about that and you say, all right, how can I impact the kingdom? Now I want to ask you these questions. How much do you know about your Bible? Do you know what grace is? Do you know what law is? Do you really know it? Do you have some life verses that just get you through life that you go to, that you can recite? If not, why not? It's not that hard. If you just come to church every Sunday, man, I got a whole Bible full of verses I go back to by just listening to the preaching on Sunday that are references. How much one-on-one discipleship have you been a part of? Have you sought after a mature believer that will help disciple you? And I'm not talking about that person that's going to give you a bunch of advice, right? Tell you what you're doing wrong. But if you found that person that's willing to disciple you, to come along somebody like Kim will change your life, and let her spend time with you and pour into you. I promise you. How are you serving the Lord? And this is an important one. What are your gifts? Do you know what your gifts are? Do you know what you're designed to do? Do you know what you're designed to do that will help advance the kingdom and serve him? And if so, are you doing it? And I'm going to let you in on a little secret, that if you can figure out who you are and what Christ has designed you to do, then your life will be so much easier. It's not even like you're working at it. You know, if if somebody asks me to serve in the nursery and I go and I say I'll serve in the nursery, but that's not what I designed to do, which I'm not, then I'm going to be miserable, right? I'm going to be miserable. Kim's is counseling. Man, if you get her in a counseling situation, man, she is pouring it out, you know? We get her in other areas, man, she just stinks it up, right? I'll take you to lunch, okay? All right? But figure out what you're designed to do. It'll change your life. And then are you passionate about the same thing God is passionate about? Do you even know what he's passionate about? Or are you just passionate about the next thing that gets you through the day or gets you some relief? And here's the point that I think a lot of times we're waiting on God. You know, we're like, God, you know, if you'll do this, or God, I'll be ready if this will happen, or God, this. I'm telling you, that's not the case. He's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. And if we want to engage what he's called us to do, then things will change in our lives, and it'll change in the lives of others. So let me just wrap it up here, all right? I think that you've got to understand that the wounded part of your spirit, these things that are holding you back or that challenge you, are not designed to keep you stuck, okay? They're designed to empower you, to move forward, okay? And inside of you is all these things we had, and I think they're worth reading again, you know? Inside of you is this. You want to honor him. You want to serve him. You will fight. You will overcome. You will achieve. You are ambitious. You are dependable, generous, kind, passionate, self-controlled, faith, joy, wise, innovative, positive, courageous, inspiring, good, motivated, loves what God loves, love how God loves. And you're able to break free of bondage. That's who you are. Maybe. Amen. Where's Kevin? I know he would have gave me one. That's who you are. That's who God has designed you to be. Now, how are you going to use it? How are you going to use it? I don't know how to end this, you know. I just want you guys to receive that you're so much more. That I'm telling you, this group as I see them can change the world. And that's what I want to be a part of. I want to look back next year and see things that God has done that we never thought were possible. I want to look back 5 years from now and see things God is doing that we never thought was possible. And I tell you, you've got to believe that. You've got to believe that it's true. And you've got to search for this transformation. You have to pursue it passionately. That if you can only answer up here, that I know because somebody told me, or I know because I read it, then I think you're missing what God has called you to do. There's a point in your life, and you've got to pursue it, of how is it going to transform from my head to my body when I just know that I know that I know that I'm doing his will. I know that I know that I know that things are changing because I'm in his will. So that's my prayer, is today we do that. And as we... what we'll do is I don't have the music or anything. I don't even know. Are y'all even in here? Okay. All right. Let's do this because I think we should end. We should end with something. Chris, will you just come up here? Just pray for a little bit. I mean, just play. Play. I'll pray. I want to pray over y'all now that the words that were spoken today that you will receive in your heart, that you will receive the traits that we mentioned and the ones that are even more than that Christ offers you. And I want to pray that you will have a transformation that any doubt will be gone. Anything that you're dealing with, that you'll learn how to use it the way God wants you to. I want to encourage you guys to not sit on the sidelines. I want to encourage you to take a step and to go find somebody that will disciple you. Find a mature believer that will disciple you. Look at a small group. Being in a small group changed Kim's life. Are you part of that? Do you even know Jesus Christ? How do you answer that question? Do you know him? If you don't know him, I'd love to talk to you about that. If you do know him, but you want to do it your way, I would just tell you good luck, okay? I'll shake your hand and pat you on the butt and send you on your way. Good luck. But when life puts you into figure four, you know what figure four is? The old wrestling move Ric Flair used to do. You can come back. We'll be here, right? So let's pray, and then we're going to end. But if you need prayer, if anything's spoken to you today, then we'll be here. Kim, you'll come up. All right, Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for who you are, God. I thank you for each person that's here today, God, that they showed up to hear you. Thank you for the praise we had today, Lord. Thank you that we can just praise you in such an open and honest way. God, it was so powerful. Thank you for the praise team. And Lord, I thank you for this army that you're putting together. That, Father, that we're stepping out, Lord, that there's a newness that's coming. There's a boldness that's coming, Father. And God, you're letting us be a part of it, Father. And this is not a dream, God. I can see it. We are going to be part of something that history records, Lord, that people write about, God. We are ready to shake up the world, Father. So send us out, Lord. Send us out, Father. And let us do your work, God, and your kingdom come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
If you are listening to this sermon series and would like to have someone pray for you, or you'd like to ask some questions, or you just need someone to talk to, please feel free to give us a call at 803-581-2070. Thank you.